Well, we have several bean features. He's like a little puppy that demands to be beaten. I don't know why he demands it.
No puppy demands to be beaten. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's correct. Except for you, who demand to be beaten, and then
you've already done What's Up with Bean's blog. You've already done that in the last week or so. What can be left to mock me?
Here's the thing. We used to think that Bean's blog would keep all of his various interests away from us. Because
it would be a release valve,
yes,
essentially.
Because when we're listening to songs, or you're listening to songs, we're in the room, and Bean just says whatever comes to his head. There's no conversation going on about any of the topics. Nope. He just brings stuff up. So we thought, yeah, blog, that'll be great. You can put all of that in there. But it doesn't really work that way. Now he blogs, and he puts all that meaningless stuff there, also with no eye whatsoever toward to the receiver or what they might think. He says things to us.
He just barfs his brain onto us.
He barfs his brain.
Wow. Wow. That hurts.
That is a good description.
But I have been sensitive to your complaints about, thanks for the info, Bean,
really?
I guess is probably where you're headed for this. I've been sensitive to that in the past, and I have made a conscious effort to really zip it up in the last couple of months. I
mean, zipped it up.
I am telling you that I don't speak unless it's essential, unless it's necessary, unless it's gold.
I write down word for word when Bean says something. It comes out of the blue. No one's having a discussion about whatever the topic is. He just says the most random things. I write them down. I write down specifically how he says it word for word. And then I write down if stupid Lisa has to respond to him. I'm Lisa or Mike or whoever. So here's another rousing rendition of
Fetch That Info Bean.
By the way, out of nowhere, by the way, my favorite IHOP and my second favorite Denny's both closed in the last couple of months. And then I put in parentheses, no one says anything, and then Bean continues. I don't know what's going on, but it's disturbing.
Well, it is. Thanks for that info, Bean.
That's you zipped up? Is that what that is?
As a matter of fact, it is. Come on, Kevin. If you had a favorite restaurant that closed down, you might mention that to coworkers that you're friends with, right?
I don't think so.
Really?
And then your second favorite Denny's?
Yeah.
Does that really?
Favorite IHOP, second favorite Denny's.
Second favorite Denny's.
Yeah.
Do we need to know about that?
But when both of those close that close together, it's like a knockout punch to Bean.
Wow. Call Marianne Cotillard. You might have a conspiracy theory about this because something's going on.
Bean was in the studio with us and he said, wistfully, I miss my microwave.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You do have a great microwave at home. That is true.
Why am I just now finding out about the Hello Kitty AK-47?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
No one's talking about anything. Bean says, I love pistachios.
Oh, thanks for that info, Bean.
This is one where Mike ruined it for us. Oh, see, I have everyone trained. I tell Lisa, I tell Mike, do not respond to him. You have to ignore him.
He gives me the look of death whenever I do.
Guys, I'm going to do the Bean voice. All guys, right. Guys, I'm reading about a place I have to go. It's the Mustard Museum in Mount Hook, Washington. I don't say anything. Lisa doesn't say anything. Mike says, do you even like mustard? Bean says, there are 400 different types of mustard. That's how that went word for word.
Awesome. Thanks for that info, Bean.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten about that conversation. I need to now make a note to definitely head to the Mustard Museum.
This is Bean zipped up, by the way. I baked a delicious pumpkin spice bread yesterday.
Oh, God.
And then no one said anything, and then Bean said, it came out so great.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
If I said that, Bean would tell me to call someone on the phone
up. He's the worst at that.
You bastard.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, come on.
I still don't believe airplanes can fly. I think they just sit still and spin the earth.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Wrote it down word for word.
Honest to God.
Why are eggs so good?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Bean, seriously? No one cares.
Why are eggs so good? It's the unanswerable question. It's like saying, why is a song good? There's no answer to that.
He does that too, by the way. He does it all.
He says he doesn't force his blog on us, but this is a thanks for that info, Bean, word for word. Today's the 150th post of my blog. And then Lisa, upset, says to Bean, what are we supposed to do with that? And Bean responds, it's just a nice round number. Yeah. I like it.
Now we're into favorite numbers?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You guys are making stuff up now.
No,
at this point.
I remember.
You guys, Mike, you remember this
these.
Stuff, right?
100%.
Lisa, you remember these?
Yes.
Here's one from a recent week. I hate getting outbid on eBay.
No, well, who doesn't?
I guess that would be all right if we were talking about eBay in any way, shape, or form.
Or if you had something interesting that you were bidding on. Didn't bother with that piece of information.
There's no follow-up on that.
Nothing.
And finally, and maybe best, just out of the blue, Mike looked at me like, are you effing kidding me? So I wrote down, I think Wally is a great name for a dog.
Where the hell did that come from?
Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up,
Come on.
Shut up.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
You think we're talking about dogs or dog names or any of the above?
I hope.
Nope. Came out of silence.
Not a thing.
I think Wally is a great name for
a dog. But isn't truth the best defense? Is if Wally is, in fact, a great name for a dog, then I think the defendant is innocent.
Thanks for that.
It's been a while since we checked in with our favorite Raider fan, Rudy. So, you're thinking of vacationing in Mexico this summer? Have we got a theme park for you? You got to check out the Echo Alberto Park. Looks like this is a good time, huh, Kevin? Sounds like something you'd like.
It does. It's odd, though. I'm surprised that it's not getting more people upset. And we did some checking. We're not positive if it's true, but it looks true. A BBC News report says this is a place where tourists can go to pretend to be an illegal migrant. And basically what happens is you get ready, and it's at nighttime, and a guy named Pancho says, vamos, let's go, and they all start running. And then the police come after them later with guns. They're firing blanks, and it looks like they're crawling through bushes and going through tunnels, and there's a heavy flowing water stream that they have to cross. And if you get caught, you get arrested. It's the whole thing.
So it's like war games. It's like the geeky guys who play army on the weekend, but this one you pretend to be crossing the border, say, from Mexico into the United States. So you're swimming the Rio Grande, and you're going through the Arizona desert, and you got the La Policia after you, and you just are just going for it.
The equivalent of $19.50 here in America. You can spend a night living like millions of Mexicans who actually risk their lives crossing into the United States. That's the point behind the park.
Fantastic.
Wow.
You know, I'd like to make a point before we talk to our guests, because I understand producer Lightning has lined up somebody from the park for us, and that is that I didn't cross the border. The border crossed me. Okay? I just want you to remember that.
All right. That's a good
tip. So, what's the deal with the Echo Alberto Park? Let's go down to Mexico and find out with our correspondent on the scene here on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
Thank you for calling Migrant Mountain. My name is Rudy Cisneros. How can I help you?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean, Rudy. Kevin.
Oh, what's up, eh?
How you doing?
Hey, what's the chances, Holmes? What's happening?
What are you doing down there?
Oh, dude, I got a job, eh? Look at me. Check me out, eh? Picture me pimping, eh? Like, I got a job down here. They call me up. They're like, we need a consultant, eh? To, like, help us make it more Chicano, you know? Like, to help us, like, get an American perspective from a Hispanic. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm just down here chilling, like, you know,
why
making
is it
waves.
Every phone number we call in Southern California, doesn't matter if it's in L.A. or San Diego, or we call Mexico, we call Chile, we call anywhere, you're the guy who answers the phone. I mean, can you not keep a job?
I got hoes in different area codes, you know what I'm saying? I move around town, you know what I'm saying? I'm making waves.
So you're working at the Echo Alberto Park?
You could call it working, I guess.
Okay, well, not right now, necessarily.
There's our pal Rudy, yeah.
Now, you know, I'm like, they ask me questions about stuff, you know, like, it's an amusement park, I guess. They want to, like, emulate, you know, crossing the border, you know?
Right, right.
But, like, right now, it doesn't have much to offer. You just run around for a while, and then you go swimming, and guys blast at you, you know, with fake guns.
Right.
And then you go home, you know what I'm saying? So they really want to develop it to really, draw, like, you know, people, like, tourists that come down, they want to go to an amusement park,
So it's not a done deal? They're still putting
new rides it's working right now, but, like, we're constantly in construction trying to develop it and, like, get more attractions and rides, you know? So it could be, like, a big-time amusement park, you know what I'm saying? So, like, instead of you and your hyena, you could say, hey, let's go to Magic Mountain, you know what I'm saying? Let's go to Disneyland. You're like, let's go down south, hey? Let's go to Migrant Mountain. Let's chill out. Let's bone out. Let's go there, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they call me up. You guys want to hear, like, what we got, like, in the works right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around you being a consultant for anything.
Nah, man, I got crazy ideas, you know what I'm saying? I get all blooded, I start thinking stuff up, you know? And they're asking me, like, you know, like, what's a Hispanic lifestyle? You know, we want to emulate Hispanic lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
But, Rudy, why would a company in Mexico with a theme park in Mexico need to go to somebody else to find out about the Hispanic lifestyle?
They want to come to America, you know, so they want the American Hispanic lifestyle, you know?
Oh, so they need your perspective on it.
So you
the
know
immigrant.
Got, like, amusement parks, they have the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
We're going to have, like, your mama's mansion.
Your mom
it looks
is
like
Nancy.
Your mom tells you to sit on the couch and watch the Raider game. She comes in, you're like, she's like, you're 33 years old. Go get a job, eh? And you have to just sit there and smoke blunts all day, and then like, you know, then just that's it.
Is there?
Yeah, she's like, you got to get a job. You got to go move somewhere else. You're a grown man.
Is there an endless Raiders game on a loop?
Yeah, you just watch a game and you just smoke blunts. It's pretty fly, you know.
Okay, I thought you'd like that.
They have Autotopia. You know, Autotopia, like the cars okay. They come around and like they give you a ride.
Right.
But this one, the cars come around and you have to fix them.
You have to fix the cars.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I only got one wrench. Look, I have to fix this Regal. Oh, man, that's crazy. What a crazy ride.
Okay.
They have the people mover, too.
Oh, the people mover.
Yeah,
okay.
But this one, it's like a Chevy truck, and you sit in like a fake Home Depot, and the guy's like, get in the back of the truck. Hey, I'm going to take you somewhere. And you get in the back of this truck. He drives you crazy places. You go, where am I going? Eh? He's like, just shut up. Work hard. Eh? $10 a day.
Right. So you jump into the back of a truck with like 40 other patrons. You just go wherever they take you.
It's fun. You just sit there. You're like, you get to the front of the line, and then if a Chevy truck comes up, you're like, clean. There's all these vatos in the back. You're like, what's up, Charlie Holmes? And then you go, jump in. And then you get in. You drive around.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
How about that? That sounds great.
Like, instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, we got Pirates of the Carabiner.
Sure.
It's pretty fly, you know, because, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, there's, like, the robot puppets that, like, running around and, like, ooh, I'm a pirate.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one's got girls with, like, the eyeshadow, like, all drawn in, and like, their lipstick, they're like, the baby's yours, I swear. And you're, like, in a little... But and you don't have no boat or anything. You don't have a boat. Instead, you wear jeans in the water because you're like, I don't wear swim trunks. I'm a Hispanic. They just walk around in water, and there's shit. These are the hyenas coming out with crunchy hair. They have crunchy hair, and they're like, I'm going to get you. The child is yours.
Well, you know, that's awesome, Rudy, because it sounds like maybe there's some work for Sad Girl down there at the park, too.
Oh, I brought that hyena with me. You know
oh,
what
you
I'm
did?
Saying? Yeah.
All right,
and then, like, you know how they have the Bear Country Jamboree?
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
We got Bear Country Slow Jamboree.
And what's that?
You just play slow jams. I guess I have to really think that one out a little more. But, like, you go to a mountain where there's, instead of, like, Huggy Boy's there and Art LeBeau, and they play slow jams.
Right, they just bring out the doo-wop records and you dance, right.
You don't really dance. I haven't thought that one out yet.
You might want to work on that one just to... And here's what happens when matter and antimatter show up at the same place at the same time.
You know how Lightning always comes in Fridays at 10 and gives us his little plugs about his gigs? Oh, by the way, I'm going to be at so-and-so.
I'll be at Kraken Auto Parts, and I've got free oil pans for everybody to come down and get a balloon and a sticker.
Come down and join us. Well, he had one of those gigs, and sometimes those gigs aren't wildly successful. Sometimes only a small group of people show up. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, maybe only two people show up. Can you imagine doing a gig, going out to some place as Lightning from K-Rock, and you did the radio commercials and everything, and two people show up? That's funny enough.
That would be a story in itself.
He should have sit down with him?
He should have come back and said, hey, guys, I did a gig. There were only two people there. We could have so much fun with that.
Right.
Yeah. Oftentimes, they they want us out on their slowest night, which even I can't help.
Right.
Even I. The great Lightning.
So I wasn't supposed to sound like that. Sometimes.
So 2 months ago, he does a gig and there's only two people there. And did he tell us that?
No.
Did he mention it to any one of us that we might be able to bring up on the air?
No.
And
you know what? I went back.
Let me finish. You be quiet. Not only were there two people there. The two people that were there,
Siegfried and Roy,
were Tom Likas and his girlfriend.
That okay. was my audience.
So now Lightning is doing a gig, and he's got to entertain only Tom Likas and his girlfriend. Now, we have a Tom Likas on this program all the time.
No, I don't get the tie-in.
He never thought to tell us this.
No, I don't see how we can make a break out of
it. How could you not tell one of us that?
You know, I came back the next day, and I told some people here, who I don't know, but it was some people, because you guys were on vacation. I figured it out. You guys were on vacation, and I didn't save it over until when you got back. Because
how do you not send out an email saying, guys, remind me to tell you, I had a gig, I had only two people at my gig, and it was Tom Likas and his girlfriend.
And by the way, this past vacation, they took separately. So there
That's
was
right.
somebody
one of us would have been
in
here.
The house.
Good point. There was no way we were all gone.
That's good point, Ralph.
And by the way, when you showed up...
We want to make sure run all those guests off of my week. When you showed up at that gig and saw that it was only Tom Likas and his latest hoe, I don't know how you weren't on your cell phone calling us at home saying, you guys aren't going to believe this. This is the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened to me. You can't believe who's in front of me.
I swear to God, I cannot believe you didn't tell us. That is unbelievable to me.
I told some people.
I was pretty sure I told you. What are you, some people? There's Ralph.
I don't know.
There's Bean. There's
I
me.
Is there a guy named Johnny B that works on this show?
I remember coming in the next day telling some people about it.
Fine, but you didn't tell us.
Hey, Lightning, how'd you entertain Tom and the missus?
I didn't. That's the whole thing.
What
is
was
that
the gig, first of all? Start from the beginning. Okay. What was the event? Where were you? Why?
Cuervo hires me to go out to one of their bars that is a real Cuervo.
What was it?
Deep Cuervo server. It was Gotham on 3rd Street Promenade.
Okay. Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica, no, exactly. Well. Great place. Okay. And I got there, and there was a huge event going on next door, and so a lot of people were there and didn't really – I don't know if they thought it was open or not, but somehow I walked in, and there weren't very many people there. And then they started to trickle out. Finally, the time comes around. I'm supposed to get on the mic, and I realized, okay, there was no like big K-Rock setup or anything.
There's
it was just
only
me,
two people there.
A couple turntables and a mic.
There's two turntables and a microphone?
Yeah, that's right. Ones and twos. And I look at them like, oh, there's only two people sitting here. And I look closer, and you do that refocus where you yeah. boop, and I focus
how
right in
how close do you
on...
have to look if it's Lycus?
No kidding.
You yeah, can
no
spot
kidding.
Him from the Hubble telescope yeah. in space.
That's why giant... no one else could get in the bar.
A his... giant dude with sunglasses on?
His back's to me. I could see the woman. I'm like, okay, there's only two people. This is a little awkward because then I'm just, I look like a fool.
A little awkward?
Yeah. What are you
going to
do?
Get on the mic and go, hey, how many people are from out of town?
Exactly.
Anybody celebrating anniversary?
I can't do any contests. Can't do anything. You know,
you couldn't eat your dog food for a t-shirt contest.
No. Who wants to eat dog food for a t-shirt? They just look at him like, what? There's only two of us.
So I figure I'm going to get a beer and I walk around to the bar. And at that point, I realize there's only one guy that I know of that wears all black and sunglasses indoors.
And that's when you got on your cell phone and called Bean and Ralph and myself and said, "You guys will not believe this in a million years."
Well,
this is great.
I talked to the manager and I go, "I can't do a gig for two people, especially if one's like."
Of course you can.
No, what
What's
am I supposed
wrong
to do?
With you? Got some concert tickets. Who's got to
pump up the jam?
106 and 7 on a dollar bill. Come on. Come on up front.
Mike, did you at least have the what you have that works for every audience, which is everybody say hey, everybody say ho. You at least had that
I
in your back
do
pocket.
That.
You
could
always use that.
Dude, I froze up.
So you
I
told the manager
it.
You weren't going to do it and you left?
No, I didn't leave. Oh. I stayed there and some more people
It got paid
came
for
in.
Not doing anything?
I do what I call my custom service, which is I go to table and sure. I just spend a little
okay.
time with each person.
Custom
service. Tell us about your custom service with Tom Lycus sitting at his table.
I went and I said hello, and he still had no idea. I was with Ralph one time.
Right.
And we went up and like, hey, this is Ralph. He does you sometimes. And I introduced myself. And he goes, oh, you know what? I haven't heard you guys. And it was the same thing this
yeah,
time where he's like, he had never heard
yeah,
of us.
It's full of crap, by the way. He mentions on the air that he hears
and
it.
Really
I've met
awesome
the guy four times.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
keeps saying, oh, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, he does.
I don't get up that early. I have no idea what you guys
That's kind
do
of funny.
In the morning.
So, yeah. So you're sitting there. He's at the table. He says he has no idea who you are. Then you say, everybody say hey.
No,
everybody say ho.
I couldn't do it, dude.
Anybody got a condom in their wallet? Come on up. I'll give you some tickets. They just look at him.
I wasn't liquored up. Maybe things would have been different, but...
Oh, no.
We were talking about him. Here we go.
Here he comes.
Tom.
Could have done this 2 months ago.
DJ Twitter.
There you go. How you doing, Tom? Good morning.
Tom?
Really?
Yes. This is...
Unbelievable.
This is Lightning. Do you recognize him from the gig in Santa Monica that we were talking about here on the air?
Come on, for God's sakes!
He was at Gotham. You and your girlfriend were there, and he was entertaining you?
Really?
Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
You were there. I was there.
Unbelievable!
Can you believe he didn't tell us?
Unbelievable!
What I can't believe you didn't call us and tell us.
Unbelievable!
Tom, what kind of stuff? Is Lightning telling us the truth? What kind of stuff did he do on the mic that night?
He did Flash Friday.
Flash Friday.
I'll take your headlights on and show your rack, everybody.
That's
yeah.
your deal. That's
driving down the 5 freeway, put the lights on. Go show your rack.
That's your deal. That's not his.
How was I going to do a gig with him sitting there? With that persona?
Crack in the ass. Yeah, leave my head print on your ass. Attention horse.
He'll ask for tattoos or something like that. Pink underwear. Who knows what he asked for? And then you got to come up front. Did he do any of that stuff?
Really?
Who's the attention whore, Tom? I'm sorry, I didn't follow that.
Come on, for God's sakes! Attention whores! Fred Friday! Crack in the ass!
What is wrong with you, Tom?
Here's the 800 number you're going to need. 1-800-500-TOM is the number.
Light, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Is this what the conversation was like with him at the table?
A little bit, yeah. Really? Yeah, unfortunately.
Really?
It's weird.
Really? Really?
Yeah, Tom, we just want to know. We just want to know about the gig where Lightning had to.
Tom, what's
were
wrong?
Were you there, Lightning?
I was there. I was there, and you were drinking.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
I took it.
You were drinking it? Oh, man. Did I entertain you?
I know if you're a regular listener of this program, you don't expect comedy when you tune into the show, but today you may be surprised.
Now, Bean, where did you find this story? Who did this study?
I saw it in a book, and I brought it up, and it surprised me that British scientists had taken it on themselves to do a survey of what the funniest joke in the world is. And I don't have a lot of the details, but Kevin, I know you have some.
Right.
About how they went about doing it. Did they get a room full of people and run all the jokes by them and see which ones got the best reaction, or how did they establish which one was the funniest?
They had 40,000 submitted jokes.
Wow.
To these scientists.
Okay.
And the scientist tallied nearly 2 million votes. So basically, they did this in Britain. Researchers solicited people from around the world to contribute jokes as well as judge them. And they came to a scientific number one. I don't know how you choose that.
Did the scientists, with their hilarious sense of humor, decide which one was the funniest? Or did they actually play the jokes for people?
They say that they created a website where people could submit and rate jokes.
Oh, so people who went to the website also rated.
Purposes of the research included discovering the joke that had the widest appeal and understanding among different cultures, demographics, and countries.
So this is a joke for everybody.
Yes, it has to be funny to everybody in the world.
Okay.
And that's what they were looking for, the funniest joke in the world.
We have in front of us what the British scientists in 2002 arrived at as the funniest joke in the world. And we will give that to you in a few minutes. But in case we're wrong, in case there's been an update, we want to hear from you. If you believe there's a legitimate contender for the funniest joke in the world.
This man is Ernest Scribbler, manufacturer of jokes. In a few moments, he will think of the funniest joke in the world. And as a result, he will die laughing. It was obvious the joke was lethal. No one could read it and live.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a funny joke. Because you die. Yeah. That may be too funny. That's the problem with that joke, is it's too funny. Again, it can't just be a good joke, can't just be an okay joke. It has to be the funniest joke in the world, in your opinion. And then we'll see if those match. We'll start with Patrick in HB. Good morning, Patrick. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's up, guys?
Funniest joke in the world, man. Let's hear it.
Okay, so it's April 1st, and this woman's pregnant. She's giving birth, and the doctor's telling her, push, you know, get the baby out, push. She's screaming. She's going at it. And he's like, okay, here it comes. It's coming out. You know, he lifts it up and shows it and starts throwing it on the ground and stomping on it. And she's, you know, screaming, oh, my baby! Oh, no, my baby! You know, and he looks up at her and goes, hey, lady, April Fool's, the baby was already dead.
Oh, God!
Oh, my God!
That's for you, Mike.
That's a great delivery, too, Patrick. Thank you.
That's for you, Mike, because somebody gets dominated. I got to tell you, I've seen the funniest joke in the world. I think Patrick's maybe funnier.
That was unexpected.
That is so offensive. Nick and Brea, good morning.
How you doing?
That's a tough one to beat. Go ahead.
It's the best joke in the world to tell to your buddy
right. In
front of a bunch of people. So this one's for you, Kevin.
Go ahead.
What was the last thing my pubic hair heard before it hit the ground?
What was the last thing my pubic hair heard before it hit the ground?
Yes.
Right.
It's you going...
That's equally offensive. That's pretty good. All right, let's go to Cyrus. Good morning, Cyrus.
Morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Lisa? Good.
Hello.
You got a couple of
this
tough
jokes. All you cats out there at K-Rock, right?
All right.
What did one snowman say to the other snowman?
I give up.
Do you smoke carrots?
Okay, see, this is an example of what we don't want. Not the funniest joke in the world.
All right, let's try Steve in Chino. Good morning, Steve.
What to do?
Anything you read in Highlights magazine, I think I could say, is guaranteed not to be the funniest joke in the world.
Funniest joke in the world. Go.
What's the difference between Kevin and a refrigerator?
Difference between me and a refrigerator.
The refrigerator don't fart when you pull your meat out.
Oh. Okay, how do we start so strong and go so badly and so wrong so fast?
Let's try one more, and then we'll give you the funniest joke in the world. Memo?
Yep, right here. How you doing, guys?
And Pomona.
Good.
What, in your opinion, is the funniest joke in the world?
Gotcha. Mom and Dad are in the act, and then they're in the bedroom, and a kid walks in on them. Mom really quickly dismounts and goes see what her son saw. He asks her son, well, what did you see, son? He says, Mom, what were you doing on top of Dad? He says, no, you know how your dad's belly's round? I was sledding it out for him. The kid says, Mom, you're wasting your time. The neighbor comes in and blows it back up again.
Okay,
I see where you're going with that. Okay.
I get that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, British.
But can I just, can I guess first before you do that?
Sure.
I have a guess.
Okay, yeah.
A man walked through a whole house and saw a beautiful prostitute smoking outside, and he walked up to her and he says, I give you $20 if you let me lick your c-. She turns around, gives him $40, and she says, get the f*** out of my face, otherwise I'll get my pinch, and the girls, bust your ass!
That's it. Funniest joke in the world, right?
I saw a winner.
I didn't follow that at all.
I didn't either.
No, Kevin. 2002, British scientist, millions of votes. This is the funniest joke in the world.
A couple of New Jersey hunters are out in the woods when one of them falls to the ground. He doesn't seem to be breathing. His eyes are rolled back in his head. The other guy whips out his cell phone and calls 911. He gasps to the operator, my friend is dead. What can I do? The operator, in a calm, soothing voice, says, just take it easy, sir. I can help. First, make sure he's dead. There's a silence. Then a gunshot is heard. The guy's voice comes back on the line and he says, okay, now what?
That's the funniest joke in the world. So says the Brits.
Wow. We need not let scientists rule on jokes.
It's no, the joke's on you. The baby was already dead. I'll tell you that.
Bringing you interviews with the world's biggest celebrities.
Even if they're dead.
Oh, my God. Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going with that? Come back. Come back here.
Get your damn hands off me, you cunt. Damn dirty apes.
Charlton?
Oh.
I'm sorry, was that too soon? Hey, can we get the Charlton Heston Hotline to Heaven going on there, man? I heard he just passed.
How dare you?
I'd like to hear what he has to say about heaven, man.
That is
insensitive at best.
Insensitive at best, absolutely. But since the listeners demand it, and clearly at this point expected from the Kevin DeBeach Show, let's fire up the Hotline to Heaven and see if we can get the recently passed, the great Oscar winner Charlton Heston in the sky. Good morning, Mr. Heston.
Hello.
How are you today, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're okay. Well, how are things on your end?
Dead.
A little dead up there, is it?
A little dead now.
Well,
used to be alive.
Right. Yeah.
Now I'm dead.
Right. First of all, congratulations on an astonishing life. I mean, you are a guy who had tremendous success, the recognition and love of your fans and your peers. And, seriously, you lived to be 84 years old. That wasn't a bad chunk, right?
Not too shabby, yeah. If I say so myself. Mm-hmm. Of course, Hugh Hefner is 82, in Vegas this weekend with his three blonde girlfriends at the Playboy Club.
Yeah, he wins.
Little bit better than my weekend, which consists mostly of not breathing anymore.
Right.
That was my weekend.
Well, are you
given the two?
You choose.
I take Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. He may have the real heaven, I guess. Are you hooking up with some of your old friends? That's one of the things I imagine people look forward to when they go to heaven is you're hanging out with, you know, Ronald Reagan and people like that now, right?
I have talked to Ron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Good.
He has no idea who I am.
Aww. He doesn't really.
Aww. Keeps calling me Greg Peck. Gregory Peck, also another famous actor from my time.
From the 40s and 50s.
Right. Yes.
But right. What about your
Alzheimer's? At least my head's clearer now.
Yeah, you sound sharp.
I am. I'm sharp again. Good thing about heaven is when you have the Alzheimer's that it clears up.
Sure, but...
So you can be painfully aware that you're dead.
Why is that?
Now I could use the goddamn Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But nope, I know I'm no longer on Earth.
Yeah, why is Ronald Reagan not on that plan?
He's just dumb.
Okay.
He doesn't have Alzheimer's. Just stupid.
Just dumb. Okay.
Keeps calling me Greg Peck.
Really? He actually told us that, Mr. Heston.
Hey, you know what? Right. When I died, they did pry the gun out of my cold, dead hand.
Is that right?
Oh, like you predicted.
That was question number one.
I told them that was the only way they were going to get it,
mm-hmm.
and they got it.
Oh, that's sad.
Bang!
So,
what?
Why are you shouting?
Bang, bang!
Why are you shouting bang?
Bang!
Because he doesn't have a gun anymore.
Turns out, no guns allowed in heaven.
Oh, that's a letdown. Wow.
Ain't that a son of a bitch?
It is if you're the president of the NRA and a lifelong member, sure.
You know the pearly gates?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Actually a metal detector.
Is that right?
Son of a bitch.
Can't be pleased with
that. St. Peter works for the TSA.
Well, who knew?
Tried to walk through with a Glock and all kinds of goddamn alarms went off.
Really?
Mm. Bang, bang! So now I just point my finger at angels and say bang.
Doesn't seem quite as effective. Machine gun?
That was a machine gun.
Okay, good.
Kind of sad, really.
Damn it. Yeah, wish I had my guns. Poor.
You should never said that.
Cupid's got some bow and arrows.
Yeah.
Not really the same, but...
Not the same thing.
No.
Hey, you know Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I played him in a movie.
Right.
Right.
I met him today.
You met Moses? Did.
Looks nothing like me.
Well, I don't think anyone thought he would.
I was shocked.
Did he like your work?
Not particularly.
Didn't think you were good.
Reminds me of a young Bryant Gumbel.
Really?
Moses does?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's darker than I thought.
Yeah.
That must have been disappointing to
you. A lot of these biblical folks are dark.
Right?
From that point, between that part
you
of the
and
world.
Me. They're a swarthy bunch.
Well, I don't think you should be talking about people in heaven that way.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I thought there was a bunch of white guys.
No.
No, why would they be? They were living in Egypt. Why would they be white guys?
Had I known, I would have put on some pancake or some man tan.
I don't think that's the way to go. I'm not sure that's...
Man-tan, by the way.
It's a good
first
band.
Time that's been used Roman and Barkley were on the air. They were a popular radio show back when I was...
Judd?
What a reference!
I'm old!
Really?
I'm reaching back.
Maybe Ken and Barkley? Really?
Wow. Hey, Chuck, before you go, what about... have you read
any
of those...
I'm already gone!
Yeah, it's true.
Can't be any more gone than I am.
Maybe a little late for that.
I said, get your stinking paws off me, you goddamn undertaker.
That's what
no
you said.
No one heard me.
Nope.
Yeah, because you
was
were
dead.
Dead, exactly. Have you run into any of those pesky apes that you had so much trouble with back on Earth?
Luckily, the apes don't go to people, heaven.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. They go to Michael Jackson's house.
No.
It's where Bubbles was.
Yeah.
Very popular ape back when I was a star.
Late 60s, early 70s.
Way back. Jesus. Already? He's having lunch.
Yeah.
I gotta go meet Jesus for lunch. Also darker than I expected.
Well, I think that's the common wisdom, is that pretty much everyone from that era.
You call it wisdom, I call it a bummer.
It's not really as much that era, Kevin, as it is that part of the world where they live.
That's
the
way
people
like
elsewhere.
It makes any difference.
I bet Kevin can't wait till he dies and his Alzheimer clears up.
How dare you.
Well, Chuck, always great to catch up with you. Say hi to Loman and Barkley for us.
I'm losing you. You're breaking up.
Yeah.
Bang!
Not very effective. Q, and you're listening to the Kevin and Slave Owner Show.
I'm not a slave owner. He's free to go home at the end of the night as long as he comes back by 5 a.m. the next day.
Dean does broadcast from Seattle, mm-hmm. and he works at his home. So anytime you hear like a phone ring or a clock or a doorbell
or a dog bark,
dogs or anything, it's always coming from his end. Everybody else is here at K-Rock, but the sound is coming from Bean. So yesterday we were doing What It Do Nephew, and I was pretty sure I heard a weed whacker for a while. And so I had to like turn down his microphone a little bit because somebody was weed whacking, and I couldn't tell what it was. It sounded like it. And then I heard, like, a lawnmower, and that's when I had to finally say something. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Buddhist monks, is someone mowing the lawn?
Yeah, sorry, I'm cutting my lawn here outside the studio.
Yeah, apparently it's me. I think I take the blame for this one. Apparently my...
Really? None of us are mowing the lawn here at the radio station? You're going to have to take the blame for this one? Because last time the lawnmower was me?
Responsibility.
I'm going to have to take the blame on this one, guys. I know Kevin and Lisa's lawn mowing noises have been loud lately, but this one's mine.
I have it done on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so there's a lot of mowing, and then it all turns ugly.
I think I take the blame for this one. Huh. Apparently, my yard crew just showed up to start mowing the lawn. They have strict, you know, after 10 a.m. only rules, but for some reason, maybe the time change screwed them up.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yeah.
That's the problem. You do your show from a hunting blind.
Jesus, stop!
All right, back to you.
Hey, no, not that hedge. Not,
So that's good times right there. And then we were talking to Bean afterwards, and he tells us that Jesus is, I think he's raising money to fly back to Mexico so that he can donate a kidney to save his brother's life.
What? Really?
Yes, that's true.
And then all of a sudden, everything changed, and we were like, "Well, why are you yelling at him then? If the poor guy just wants to raise some money so he can go to Mexico and have a kidney taken out of his own body and given to his brother."
Bean.
I was yelling at him because he came before 10 a.m. And
right.
I know that I'm going to get yelled at by everybody else if there's too much noise on my end. So I just try to make everybody happy. Try to get my yard done after 10. Try to do the radio show before 10. That's all it was. Mm.
We have Jesus on the line. Jesus?
Bueno.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
One second. Let me turn up the lawnmower.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to do that.
I was working. I'm so sorry, Mr. Bean. Mr.
Oh, it's
Bean,
fine.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine, Jesus. It's not a big deal. I just wanted to let you guys know.
You were so angry the other day, and when you hit me like that, I know how angry you are.
Oh, no.
Did he hit you, Jesus? I didn't hit you, Jesus.
Yes, he picked up one of his sheep, and he hit me with it.
He hit you with a sheep.
He beat me with a sheep.
Wow.
I did. That's not what happened at all, Jesus. I was just asking, you know, we've talked about this before. If you and your guys could maybe not mow until after 10 a.m. because we're doing a radio show in here.
I know. Usually I try to always do that, what you ask from me.
Well, what happened?
But I am trying to raise money so I can go back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I have a operation.
Right.
To I know,
give,
yeah.
Give my kidney to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So you could,
brother.
My brother.
It's very sad.
And he's not doing well.
Yeah,
I understand that.
He doesn't have long to live.
So well, there's some kind of time crunch? Is that why
I have to raise as much money as I can for the operation and also for to get back to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so I must try to squeeze as many lawns in as I possibly can in the course of the day.
What did you feel like when Bean started yelling?
I felt guilty and ashamed.
Yeah.
I felt horrible because I broke the cardinal rule of no lawn mowing before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I know how important it is to him and how he has beaten that law into my brain.
It's
so sad.
But
I
thought this one time I could...
Nope.
Could get away with it because, like I said, I'm trying to raise some money.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't raise it, then my brother will surely perish.
Right.
And,
so you're just out there mowing just 24 hours a day, if that's what it takes, just to get the money together fast enough to get there in time.
Well, you know, I am the oldest of 17 children.
Oh, wow.
And so I try to send the money back to Mexico as well for them to have the food.
Right.
And also to live in a small mud hut that they live in.
Right.
They're trying to put an extension, but mud can be very expensive. And so they need that.
I wasn't aware of that.
Did you say mud could be expensive?
Yes, in Mexico it's very expensive.
Okay.
And so I have other operations scheduled for next week.
You have more than
a
that
one?
I'm giving a piece of my liver to my cousin, Rodrigo.
Mm, okay. Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
So I have to raise money for that. I'm giving my spleen.
Right. Does anyone else need your spleen?
My sister needs my spleen.
Okay.
I'm giving her some of that. Also, my grandfather needs a new gallbladder.
Okay.
So I'm giving him a gallbladder from my own body.
They're just selling you for parts.
Yeah, well, you have anything left, Jesus, at the end of next week?
Oh, like you care.
And
I do. I love Jesus.
Hey, don't mow till after 10 a.m.
And our burro needs a new heart valve.
A heart valve?
Yes. So
For your donkey?
Yes. For the donkey back in Mexico who tends the fields.
Oh.
He needs a new heart valve, so I'm giving him my aorta.
So wow. I've got a full schedule.
Wow. Yes, you do.
Elective surgery coming up.
I apologize for my man Bean. I mean, I don't think he knew all of that when he started screaming at you. And throwing stuff. I don't think he was aware.
Well, it's okay because now I have more time because when he hit me with his sheep, he ruptured my gallbladder.
Right.
So it's not usable anymore for the family.
So who's going to die?
Two or three people.
Oh, that's sad. That's
they were
terrible.
All going to hook them up on one gallbladder.
Really? I've never heard of that surgery.
Three of my cousins were going to share my gallbladder.
They were miracles in Mexico.
They're top-notch medical care down in Mexico.
Well, Jesus, let me take this opportunity to apologize.
Let me please to you say I am sorry and sincerely apologize
don't
to
worry
you
about it.
For
not
daring to mow grass before 10 a.m.
Yeah, it was like 9:58, by the way. I mean, that's crazy early.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking, and I am sorry, and I cannot apologize enough, but I will mow your lawn for free forever for the rest
that's
of my
not,
life.
No, that's not necessary at all.
If you
I'm
need any
to pay
body
you.
Parts at all, I hope you'll feel free to ask me so I can somehow make up for you the horrible sin I have done.
Not a problem.
Because I know you work so hard that you get on the radio and you live in your house and then you go to your little microphone and you work from your house and you say things like, oh, not that hedge, and it's and everyone is,
right.
it loves it and thinks it's very funny,
uh-huh.
and you entertain so many people
right.
with your amazing talent, and how hard the work is for you to do.
All right, that's
meanwhile,
enough.
I just
that's
have
enough.
To mow lawn after lawn after lawn and work in the hot sun and sweat and do acres and acres of your million-dollar property and keep mowing and mowing.
Yeah.
But I know,
that's fine.
I
we're
know
out of time.
Comparison is nothing compared to
yeah,
what you
that,
do.
Never mind, Jesus.
Because
that's
you,
fine.
You know, I all the multiple homes you own and the
Jesus,
plane
is your,
you have.
Is one of your relatives there with you? Because I heard someone laughing.
That's my cousin Omar.
Oh, really? You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, where we do not have people who have a lack of confidence problem.
It's the lack of talent that's the trouble.
We have DJ Omar in the studio, Omar Khan, and he is our buddy now because he went to the K-Fed show last Wednesday night and jumped up and down and flipped him off and yelled, you suck, you're a loser,
he's
the whole
hero.
Thing. Almost got thrown out a couple of different times. Dave, the King of Mexico, was riding around on his back with his arm around his neck, and it was just a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
Hey,
awesome.
We were lucky enough to actually hear audio from that show, and we want to thank, what's the guy's name? Is it Andrew Shackle who hooked us up with the audio from the House of Blues?
No, it's Benjamin Shaken or Shaken.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, Benjamin, thank you so much for hooking us up with that. We enjoyed it very much. So, yeah, Omar was in his face. I mean, he was, 2 feet from K-Fed screaming at him that you're a loser.
I was K-Fed
and,
up.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
And I guess K-Fed has not taken it well and, shot back. And I guess a little bit of a feud has developed. And that's what we need to explore here today.
Lightning, send him in. We got K-Fed here, Omar.
What's this,
yeah,
dude?
We got K-Fed.
What?
Come on in, man.
Don't look at me, bitch.
All right, here we go.
Don't look at me, bitch.
All right.
You want some?
What's happening?
You want
don't
some?
Don't look at me.
Jeez. Dude.
I smell you already.
Oh, dog. God.
Kevin Federlezzi, just briefly, we've talked about this all week long, but what was it like for you on stage in West Hollywood at the House of Blues when you had Omar screaming at you from the audience, making it impossible for you to even concentrate on your own raps?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, look. When you're a player like me, mm-hmm. you're on stage, you're rapping, you're going to have your haters. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
What if they're all haters?
There was mad love for K-Fed up in the crowd. You got this one tabbouli slurping douchebag in the front,
right.
you know, looking at me, trying to hate on me.
Uh-huh.
That means nothing to me. But, you know what I'm saying? I crush him. I stole his queen.
Here's what I don't understand.
Doesn't he know I can have him smoked? Doesn't he know I can have him smoked?
But, Federlezzi, I have to ask. When you said from the stage, who wants to hear one more song, and virtually the entire audience started screaming, no!
No, that's not what happened.
Doesn't that mean everyone's a hater and they were there to laugh at you?
Go, go. And the audio you got is flawed.
Go.
Yeah, from that bitch.
I was there. I think it was no.
Well,
was
you're
no.
wrong.
What about when Omar
Your
threw his drink?
Skewed.
What about when Omar threw his drink and hit the backup dancer?
He throws like a bitch.
Yeah.
He's trying to hit me. You know, he throws like a little girl.
Did you miss your bottle of Jack Daniels?
Next time he should have come right at me. I don't even drink that Jack Daniels. What am I, some Philistine? I go straight Cristal, bitch.
No,
you know
no.
what I'm saying? I didn't miss it because I didn't even look there.
I didn't
there.
See it. I saw that there.
You know, because it was in my tummy. It was in my tummy.
All right,
I'm an ice bucket straight filled with Dom P. And
by
Cristal.
The way, okay. You say you hate the hate, don't hate the haters or whatever you say, but when you're telling me to F the media and F me, aren't you hitting on me? So aren't you, in fact, a hater?
Boom. Boom.
This is heavy stuff, man. Boom. I don't know if I can handle all
What happens in the rap game is that you get a beef with someone.
You're right, Kevin.
And then you got to throw down.
That's right.
You got to throw down.
Like George Bush says, sometimes you got beef with people. You know what I'm saying? And, like, there's only three ways to handle it.
Okay.
Okay?
What are they?
I can cap his ass.
Okay.
We can have a rap off.
Okay.
Or
by cap my ass, you mean like put a hat on me or something?
No, witty boy. It means I could have you smoked. And believe me, I could have you smoked. Okay?
And who would be doing the smoking?
Dark Gable.
All right, so
what's Black the Ripper.
So rap off and kill. What's
and
the third one?
What's
so there were three ways to go with this.
We could play horse. I can take him
play
out.
Play horse.
Shoot horse. I think that's
really?
I think the rap off is the best idea.
I'm a horrible basketball player.
I hate to see you two beefing like this, so I think maybe if we got it out of our system.
We got a battle?
Yeah, we got a battle. We got a rap battle.
Oh, let's do this.
Are you both up for it? You up for it, Omar?
Sure. Did you just ask me if I'm down to rap?
No, I'm asking Omar.
I was put on earth to do this.
I'm asking Omar.
All right.
Omar, you ready?
Sure. Who's going to kick it off first? Me?
You know what? Go ahead. I defer to you, bitch.
All right.
So check it. Let me see my crystal ball. I'm sure it's gonna tell it all. Oh, look. It's Kevin. Brittany. I want you back. She's like, F that. Oh, look. You get a job. Good for you. Looks like you're saying, psh, please drive through. You're done. It's over. You're all washed up. Let's all face it. You and me suck.
Yes! Wow!
What you want?
Really?
What you want?
Really? Do we even need to continue with this?
How
what you want?
Really?
What you want?
I've never heard a rapper put fewer words into a longer space.
I love the cadence.
All right, you ready, K-Fed?
Let's do this. Yeah. Feel that in my headphones.
You're a Punjabi douchebag with dandruff in your beard, and your mama wears a burqa, which is really kind of weird. I'm gonna keep on rapping until the day I'm dead. The only thing you're rapping is a turban around your head.
How dare you talk about my mama, man?
He crossed the line.
That's my peeps right
I'm
there.
On fire.
Is it on? Is it on?
Playing with fire.
Back
you need
to
go back to the 559. For those that you don't know, it's like the 909. Nothing but a white trash brother wannabe. Deadbeat that, that's K-Federleezy. Look at this fool, he's a big dumb joke. Brittany took his money, now he's all broke. Okay, middle fingers up in the air. Wave him around like you just don't care. Better like go back in your hole. Back in your hole, the city Fresno. Get the hell out of here.
I gotta be honest, I didn't know there was anybody that had less rhythm than me.
Delisa made it right, Omar.
I think my favorite part of that, mad skills and mad props for rhyming nine with nine, too. I thought that was very impressive.
Nine and nine, yeah, that was
nine
good.
Nine
Fred Durst-esque rhyming.
All right, K-Fed, you ready to strike back?
You know what? Let's do this.
All right.
Yeah. You stink, you smell, you're a dirty, greasy beast. Don't they got no deodorant in the Middle East? You're a cave-dwelling homo, a West Coast rider. I'm living like a king, you're a homo in Al-Qaeda.
The time is now.
Do you have more? Or you guys out?
Let's do this.
Oh, all right.
Whoa. You're not going to give me my retaliation?
Listen, I'm fine with that. Here we go. DJ Omar Khan.
Everyone hopes you get eye cancer. No one's going to hire you, not even as a backup dancer. You think you got talent, but you're whack. Strutting your stuff, acting all black. Jesse Jackson's got the wrong guy. You're the disgrace. Not to one, but the whole human race. K-Fed is his name. K-Fed is his name. When you rap, it always comes out super lame. Oh, yeah. And before I forget, I just want to shout out all the Fed heads. Yeah, all too. Screw Federline and screw you too.
Boom. Woo! Boom. Hey, Omar, can you hear the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't matter with me, dude.
I couldn't tell whether you could hear it or
not. One, two, three, four.
It doesn't matter with me.
All right, one more. Here we go. Then we got the movie beat.
Woo!
You ready, K-Fed?
Omar bangs camels with burgers on their face, and he drinks goat milk because he says he likes the taste. I'm a Fresno pimp, you're a desert-dwelling slob. Gargle on my hummus while you choke on my kebab.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
It's on now, people.
This is the single most evil thing I have ever experienced, and I've seen a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
That was bad. You guys want to hug it out?
My microphone won't work. My microphone's on fire. Oh!
If K-Fed rapped that good, I would like him.
So who, won? No
who won?
Who won?
That's got to be me, right?
Anyone except you.
How dare you?
I've never heard worse rapping in my entire life.
How dare you?
I will tell you, Omar, that the listeners definitely lost.
And I think our friend Bob Dylan is trying to tell us a story here, Kevin, but I'm not completely sure.
You know, earlier today, Ralph was talking about how the quickest way to success, the best way to sell a lot of records, is to go into country music.
Yep.
He's couldn't be more wrong about that. But I will tell you, someone who's following his advice is Jewel. Do you remember Jewel that we used to play here on K-Rock?
Yeah. Smokin' Hot used to do good good songs, yeah. But now she's doing country?
She is a country music artist now. She is fully committed, living in, mostly in Texas. She's got a place in Nashville also, but she's got a new album that just came out last week called Perfectly Clear that's all country music, and she's been doing some interviews to promote the album, and there's one thing on this piece of tape we're about to play for you that kind of stuck out, kind of caught our attention a little
bit. She was doing kind of a live show where she plays music and takes questions from the audience, and an audience member questioned her about something, and she tells him about a dream that she had. This is Jewel.
I did have a dream I got to open for Bob Dylan, now that I think about it. Yeah, when I was 16. Except, I have to admit to you that there was kind of more to my dream. In my dream, Bob Dylan totally came on to me. That's kind of like, ew.
If you think it was ooh when she was 16, what's it like now, by the way, when Dylan's like 100? So we thought we got to go right to the dude she's talking about and get our friend Bob Dylan back on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Not good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I know.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about coming in. This going to ew.
She did say ew, yeah.
The only part I got of that whole thing was ew. I mean, it's got to be depressing because she's so hot. It would be so awesome if she were into you the way you're probably into her, right?
She'd be lucky to have a band in heaven.
I didn't,
Okay. Ooh, daddy, ooh, daddy, ooh, daddy.
Okay, got that.
But, Bob, I would imagine as... I'm sorry?
Dang it!
That's what I thought you said. Yeah. I would imagine as big a celebrity as you are, as huge a star as you are, as revered as you are, you probably have a lot of super hot females who come on to you regardless of what you look like.
Yeah, I'm being sexy.
I'm sorry. I did get the word sexy.
Yeah, that's me.
You're sexy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ladies love me.
You don't strike us necessarily right now as sexy. You remember the story where you scared your kindergarten-age grandson and his whole class?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With your looks?
I scared him because they had two turned on.
Your kindergartners, Bob.
Yeah. Turned on? That's not a, mm-hmm.
That's
what you
said? That's not appropriate.
Come on, Bob.
I create sexual feelings in people.
I don't understand that. I think I'm glad.
So, Bob,
Bob?
Do you need a moment? Hand check? Hand check.
Bob?
I don't like where this is going. I'm worried.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah. You still doing your radio show?
Happy Time Lemonade Sunshine Hour.
That's right. Bob Dylan Theme Time Radio. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
This week's all about me.
This week's all about meat?
Meat.
Did he say meat?
Meat.
I think he said mink.
Me, myself, and I.
Mink?
Oh. Bob. Bob Dylan.
It's about the mob?
Me.
Mink. He's saying mink.
Neat.
Mink.
Neat.
Ming,
spell it.
Ming Dynasty?
Bam Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, yeah.
Me.
Bob Dylan, you are, right.
Me. I'm Bob Dylan.
Feet?
Meeting.
I'm Bob Dylan. It's about
feet.
Me.
Good, Mike. Feet.
Me.
Meat.
Knees.
He's saying meat.
Knees.
God
knees.
Damn it, me. It's about me.
Okay,
oh,
you.
Me. Me. Oh, you. It's about Bob Dylan. Okay. I got
that. If you could talk that clearly, why don't you?
What do you mean?
Never mind.
All right, what kind of about me and how sexy I am.
And how sexy you are. Okay, yeah. What kind of songs are you playing this week?
If you can understand that, Bean, why don't you?
And this one. I want your sex.
Sure.
George Michael. That is, wow.
That's right. I want your sex.
Wow. George Michael.
You don't have to sing. All right. Stop. You don't have to sing along with the songs when you play them on your radio show.
Yeah, dude. Everybody wants to hear me sing. Oh, I'm singing about me being sexy. Like this.
I'm bringing sex back. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob, do you have do you have access to the lyrics?
You're
not. There's no relation to what you're saying and what Justin's singing.
This song is for Jewel. She didn't want you. He had
to. Come on. Bob. What's the name of that, Bob?
All right. Hey. Joel should be very nervous right now.
Oh, for God's sake, there's got to be a way you can stop it. Come on.
Are you serious with the "I want to sex you up"?
You're not doing "Color Me Bad."
All right. Oh, please stop. Please stop.
Come on.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm just a hairdresser.
Not good choices for the sake of
Bob.
Bob, are you all right?
Okay. Bob, we gotta run.
We're all getting freaked out.
Please stop. You're creeping us out. All right.
We're gonna let you have that moment.
All right,
we're gonna go.
Thank you.
We'll check back in with you later.
Cooking with Coolio, ladies and gentlemen, is the internet sensation that everyone's talking about right now. Now, Coolio was a very famous rapper when, Mike? When was his heyday back with the Gangster's Paradise song?
95, 96.
Okay. All right, so it's been a while maybe since Coolio has been in the limelight.
Yeah.
And now he's back online teaching us how to cook.
Not you, how to cook. It's hard to describe the show without you having seen it, but it is worth going to YouTube and searching Cooking with Coolio because... In the beginning, they jump in like a minivan, and then they drive out to a college campus, and then they kidnap this guy, and then they're going to show him how to cook, and then they bring him back, and they wrap his head in duct tape, and he looks like a Mexican wrestler, and then there's two girls behind him that are hitting him in the head with baguettes, and he's got a gay assistant.
Wow.
And he teaches him how to cook.
Sounds like you really learned a lot.
How much backstory do I need from a guy teaching me how to boil pasta? I don't get that.
I don't know, but that's the thought behind the first one is that he's going to go kidnap a college kid and show him how to cook. It's the worst thing I've ever heard and seen, and yet it's spectacular because it is Coolio.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Coolio's Cafe. I am the Ghetto Gourmet, and this is my AC Jerez. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to teach your ass how to cook. Are you ready? Sucker.
No.
What did he say?
Sucker. I don't think you can be street and have a cooking show.
He's cooking with attitude, dude. Come on.
They don't really mix to me. Now, Dreds is his gay assistant, and he's talking back and forth to Dreds about, you know, making dinner for a girl and just exactly what result you would like that to have.
Have you ever been, like, late and you had to make something real quick?
Quick.
And your girlfriend is one of them salad-eating bitches?
Salad-eating bitches.
Tell you what. I'm going to teach you how to make a salad that'll get them panties right off.
Yes.
So his assistant, his guy behind him, what's his name?
Dreds.
He's like the guys who stand behind Farrakhan who just mimic everything that he says.
Yes.
Go on. Tell him. That guy.
So he's going to show you how to make a salad that'll take their panties off.
Wow.
All right. So far, I'm in.
Okay. Now Coolio starts talking about ingredients. Dreds, the gay assistant, is the chanter in the background.
Balsamic vinegar. Olive oil.
Mozzarella.
Tomatoes. It's time to cook, biatch.
Nah, see, I don't know that you can work biatch into cooking either.
By the way, how about those exotic ingredients for the salad, too? No one's ever thought of putting that combination together.
And by the way, the gay assistant Dreds is repeating the ingredients to the guy that has the duct tape on his head. As if,
all right,
for some reason, the guy that was standing between Coolio and his gay assistant couldn't hear Coolio say it, but he can't hear the gay assistant say it. I don't think I understand that. So then Coolio wants you to know exactly what you're getting, what kind of quality you're getting.
It's all about presentation, baby. Remember, look good, taste good, smell good. Is good, Shaka Zulu.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure what Shaka Zulu is. He does shout that repeatedly throughout the show.
It's a cooking term, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, if you're a really good cook.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the hell are you talking
about?
You
had us going for a minute there, Lisa.
So what kind of salad do you like? What kind of salad do you not like?
You drizzle it around. Now, you don't want to get too much oil on it because an oily salad ain't sh**.
Okay.
How about that?
It ain't sh**.
It ain't sh**.
Okay.
Right. Oily
okay.
Salad. Basil. Why does he like basil?
Everybody don't like basil, but I like it because it's green, you know. Red, white, and green. You know, colors of the Mexican flag. It just make it look good now.
Okay. So
that's what I look for in my ingredients.
He likes basil because it makes it look good. It makes it look like the Mexican flag. And then he shouts again.
Shaka Zulu, motherfucker!
I don't know what that means, where it comes from, why he's yelling
at... At least now I know why this show's online and not on television, by the way.
Now he's seasoning a steak, and see, he knows his crowd, so when he describes to you what he holds his seasonings in, you'll understand.
Okay, after you rub that in, then you take your dime bag of seasoning salt right here.
So can I get that on any street corner?
Half a dime bag of pepper. Half a dime bag of pepper.
See, because they're in dime bags and half dime bags. That's how he measures.
That's funny.
How does Coolio maintain his enthusiasm for making this dish? It seems like he's really into it. Like, if I'm Coolio and I used to be all that, I am hating life right now as I realize I'm doing an internet cooking show, but he seems to really be into it.
You would fall on your knife, wouldn't you? I mean,
absolutely.
This seems horrible.
Yeah, so you get out of show business before you do an internet cooking show.
So now the Mexican wrestler dude with the duct tape head is standing in between Coolio and gay assistant, and now Coolio is starting to talk about the mushrooms, but the gay assistant isn't sure the guy in the duct tape can hear, so he repeats as well and gets very, very excited about the mushrooms.
Now, Josh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some mushrooms. I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
Ooh, I like
mushrooms. And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
And I'm going to put a mushroom in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put another one in that corner.
That corner.
I'm going to put one on the side and one on that side.
What?
Okay, now.
Oh, my God.
Are we still talking about cooking? Because I'm confused about what's going on here.
Listeners are starting to email asking if this is for real or if this this is a real show.
Search Cooking with Coolio on YouTube.
All right.
You won't believe it. It's worth watching because of the dude with the duct tape on his head.
Awesome.
For no other reason.
I'm going to put a whole half a cup of garlic in that God. See what I did? Did you see that?
That's a lot of garlic.
And guess what I'm going to do next? The hot sauce is for color.
The hot sauce is not for taste, mind you, but color.
All right.
Coolio doesn't have a lot of descriptions at his beck and call, so this is how he describes food.
God damn. That tastes better than your mama's tits.
Oh! Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So now, again, I want you to describe for me if we're still talking about cooking or when he starts talking about olive oil, if there's something else going on.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this olive oil and I'm going to put it in that pan. One. Teaspoon of olive oil. Wait a minute, not one, but we're going to take 2 teaspoons of olive oil. Hold up, and then don't stop. We're going to take 3 teaspoons of olive oil. We're going to put it in that pan. And guess what? We're going to shake it like James Brown.
On a good foot. On a good foot. On a good foot.
I am ready to vote for this man for president.
Still talking about cooking, aren't we?
Sort of.
I don't think so. So then at the end of the show, I had to cut out so much because it's impossible to put it all on there. But at the end of the show, Coolio asks for video responses. You know how you do that on YouTube? You can videotape yourself and upload it. Well, he's giving away a hell of a prize to get people to send in video responses.
You want to get this bell pepper? All you got to do is send in a video response or comment, and the person that sends the best video response or comment will get an autographed bell pepper from Coolio.
I don't know why, but he's going to send you an autographed bell pepper.
Is this a one-time only deal, or is this a series?
I don't know.
Oh,
I hope Coolio. It's a series.
Here's what I do know.
On a good foot. On a good foot.
Famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Where we've always wondered what listener Doto's home must look like, but we were too scared to find out, so we sent Mike.
All right, let's talk about Doto Cribs. Because Doto started emailing us a while back and said that he had a gun, and that scared us. He's our little friend with the effed up eye. He travels a lot, international man of mystery. Has a bit of a complex about people out to get him, a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So when we heard he had a gun and we heard he was talking about going to a shooting range and all this kind of stuff, we said, there's no possible way you could have a gun that's a permit, right? No way. Yeah, why not? So we decided to go over to his house and look for the gun, just to be safe. Psycho Mike, tell us about Doto Cribs.
We went over there with the cameras, and we pretty much did like they do on MTV Cribs. We went in there and explored the house and got, you know, the behind the scenes of Doto and his life and filmed it.
And, so it was Beverly Hills? Is that where it was?
Gosh. I'm going to say Malibu. Like... Wait, no. Now that I think about it, Westminster.
Westminster. Yeah, okay.
So we get to Doto's house in Westminster, and we arrive at the door, and this is how Doto welcomes us.
Welcome to my house, my kitchen, my living room, and my family room. And I want to make it in show business.
Yes.
Oh. Right out of the gate.
Yes. Well, he gave you the exhaustive tour, and I think that's good.
That was not edited. That was right out of the gate. Thank you, Doe.
I need to make it in show business.
He's got this huge TV. I mean, this monstrous, like, flat-screen TV and, like, 18 VCRs. So I'm like, hey, Doe, you know, you can bring the ladies home. This is the one thing you have to show off is your cool entertainment center. What do you get to get the ladies going? What do you put on?
Maybe some Playboy television.
Oh, go for the straight for the softcore, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, attaboy. You're all business.
I need some babes, too.
While he's putting in the order.
He wants you to provide him with the babes as well.
He was upset that I didn't arrive with the babes.
Yeah.
This was the part of the investigation where it got really scary. I'm not kidding. It got really scary. I start just randomly going through stuff in his house. Okay, I'm going through every drawer, every cupboard.
Does he know that you're looking for the gun at this point?
I don't think so.
You didn't remember that.
I think he just thought we wanted to look through his stuff, and he hated that. He was evidently really defensive, like I said, and very private. So I started just opening cupboards and stuff. That was flipping him out. So when I got to this cupboard that was about, you know, 10-15 feet off the ground, I had to kind of like step on the counter to get to it. There was like an air conditioning vent, and that was all that was inside this cupboard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just for like curiosity's sake, I reach behind, and there's a bag, and I feel like some tools inside it, and I open it up, and there's two knives in there in a bag behind an air conditioning vent. Well up off the ground.
Well, that seems bad.
And seems like evidence.
It seems like I kind of need to know what's up with that, right?
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
You mind if we go through these?
No.
Why would you be hiding something in a nondescript bag? What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? Just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
It's not mine.
Like, that doesn't work, right?
Who else lives there?
That's not a good enough explanation when it comes to knives.
No!
He didn't say when you pulled him out, oh, what's that? He was like, no.
Right. Yeah.
What are these? Not mine.
These look like knives. It's not.
It's not.
What does that mean?
Okay, it must be a mirage. I'm dreaming this up.
So you didn't get any more info out of him about the knives?
No, and he was giving me the look of, let's move on, or you guys are getting kicked out right now. So I said, look, for the sake of the bit, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see that.
Wow.
I didn't have a lot of regrets about doing what I did there. This was one of them. I'm in Doto's bedroom. Doto's bedroom, okay? He's a man. He lives by himself. Well, he lives with his sister, but he doesn't have a wife or a girlfriend that sleeps with him in his bedroom.
Right.
But I discover 300 pair of women's panties neatly folded.
Is he one of those guys that goes out and breaks into houses and steals panties or something?
I would not be surprised.
300 pair?
I don't know. But that many pair of panties, again, I need some explanation.
Does he wear panties?
We'll see.
Joe? What? This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What do you mean I don't know what the hell you're talking about?
Again, that's a little bit insufficient as far as giving me the details behind
something.
And you
pulled out a pair of panties, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was clear what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand these words that are coming out of your mouth. What does that mean?
This is our version of there's no goat in this room.
What the hell?
Joe? What? This is your bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Hey!
I am Doto's panty head.
Mike puts a pair of panties on his face, on his head.
Nice.
I am Dodo's panty head. I wear panties.
Hey.
Dodo's panty.
Now, Joe is trying to reach over and pull Mike off the bed and get the panties off his head.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want his mom's panties treated like that. Or
do we
something.
Think his mom's?
I think so.
Dodo's panties. Dodo's mama's panties on my face.
Did you get any kind of testing done over the weekend?
No, but my face was all itchy. It could have just been like placebo effect.
Yeah, sure.
But I was driving home, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I should have put the crotch region of panties on my face, like random panties.
Jeez.
Dojo, not a big fan of homosexuality.
Yeah, he is very uncomfortable with that. So Mike, of course, who's very, very comfortable with homosexuality, pushes his buttons a bit.
You know, speaking of parties... Let me say you and I have a little private party right now.
Come on, Mike.
What?
No private parties.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you there's a pretty cool party in your pants.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Mike's got his arm around Dodo, and Dodo is sweating. He does not like that at all.
Do you figure if you push him this way, he'll finally produce the gun?
Here's a gun! Get out! I don't know. It's just... Every answer is, I don't know what you're talking about,
right.
And no, that's not. I mean, like blatant, like ridiculous explanations for stuff. It's like the guy who has his wife walk in on him with another woman. She's like, how can you do this? And he's like, I'm not cheating. Well, what do you mean you're not? I'm looking at you with a girl. Explain this to me.
It makes your head explode.
So I just had to do whatever I could to try to get something out of Dodo. So I forced him to explain to us what his shower is like. Like, give us the tour of his shower, which is the size of a broom closet.
I was going to say, it's maybe for a midget.
Yeah.
I don't, it's really tiny.
And Dodo's a big guy. Dodo's like, yeah. You know, 6 foot five, no, 6 foot three plus. And he's got this teeny little shower. So it explained to us this shower, Dodo. And my point the whole time was trying to maybe, you know, maybe think that maybe he could share a shower time with me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Share a little shower time. He doesn't like that so much.
So you're in the shower right now, Dodo.
I'm in the shower, Mike.
You know, I had a long day. I was thinking about taking a shower. Do you mind if I...
Shut up, Mike.
You mind if I just go ahead and get in with you?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Watch me, buddy.
Come on, lube me up.
Doto's about reached his limit by this point. So I had to ask while I was there, Do, why is it that you smell the way you do? Because for those of you who are not lucky enough to have met Dodo, if you've ever been
or kissed
to Africa,
him on the mouth.
Or kissed him on the mouth like I had.
Like Mike did.
If you've ever been to Africa, you know when you get off the plane, as soon as you get off the plane, Africa has a smell. It has its own smell. And that's what Doto's breath smells like all the time.
Oh.
And it's like emanating from his body and stuff. So I had to figure out what was going on with Dodo and the odor.
Now, Dodo, I got to admit, most people reserve the smell of feces for their bathrooms and their toilets. You happen to have it emanating out of every pore of your body. Why is that?
About what?
I'm just curious. Like, what'd you eat for breakfast?
What? Fruit fly.
Would that be the rare and cherished crap?
Shut the f*** up, Mike.
So he's dead serious. He gets angry at that, and that was the end of it, and he kicked us out.
Get the f*** out of here! I'm f***ing I'll call f***ing call the cops!
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'll show him the knives.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll expose everything that's inside your house, you villain.
So what about the gun?
Oh, I hope he doesn't have a gun.
But all I know is that after being in Dodo's house and going through every nook and cranny, I still have more questions than I did before I went in.
Well, he was just denying stuff to your face that was clearly just right there.
Yeah, it's the work of a true enigma.
And then he opened up the door and shouted,
I drank your milkshake!
All right, listen, the video is up if you'd like to see Dodo's cribs.
I hear the video is even better.
The video is spectacular. You go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean, click on video,
okay.
And you can watch Psycho Mike and Lightning in Dodo's house. And when the police come to us and say, did you guys think anything might be up? We're going to have to go, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be those people that didn't see it coming. We're still about, 7 years from election time?
It does seem that way, but I think it's down to like the last 4 or 5 months or so.
I'm not sure yet who I'm going to vote for, so I just need to wait for another celebrity to come out. Guys, I don't know who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
For president in
right.
5, 6, 7 months, however long it is. And every time a celebrity comes out, they push me one way, and I go, if they're saying I got to vote for somebody, then I have to vote for somebody. And then somebody else comes out for someone else. How do I choose?
I know. What are you going to do? I know. It's tough, right?
When Heidi from the Hills came out and said who she was voting for, I thought,
well, here's the thing about
gotta
Heidi.
Go with that.
God bless her. Smartest woman in the world, I think. She's certainly a role model for people of all ages and around the world.
Sure.
And she came out for John McCain. Now, before you take that at face value, she was at the Kentucky Derby last week trying to watch the race with the binoculars turned around backwards. Okay, let's keep that in mind before you decide if Heidi is who you want to go to for your endorsement, okay?
Okay.
But all the – I mean, let's face it. Oprah has done as much for Senator Obama's campaign as anybody. You know,
that's
what I mean? Everybody lines up. I mean, that's just how celebrities are. In fact, it's in the news this week. I don't know if you guys saw. There's a big YouTube video up with the great double Oscar winner Tom Hanks. Let's hear what he has to say here. Beware celebrity endorsement, it says.
Hello, I'm Tom Hanks, and I want Barack Obama to be the next president of our country.
Okay.
As official celebrity, I know my endorsement has just made your mind up for you.
So, boom. So even Tom understands. Celebrity says it here. It comes out there. You do what they say. That's how American politics works.
So now I have to vote for him until
he's the last celebrity you hear from until you go to the poll. Right, exactly.
If no one else comes out between now and then, I'm set. But if any other celebrities come out, then what are you going to do? And we feel like maybe we've let you, the K-Rock audience, down a little bit. We do have celebrities on this show from time to time.
Right.
And we haven't really used those connections yet. So to find out how they're going to vote, I thought we would just call some of the celebrities that regularly appear on the program.
Okay.
You mind? Okay. Just call Rodney.
Oh, good idea.
Hello?
Rodney?
Rodney? Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
What do you want?
We're calling to find out who you're voting for, who you're supporting for the President of the United States.
Some kind of joke?
No.
No, we're talking about celebrity endorsements, and a lot of people may be interested in who your candidate is.
Right, that's Godhead.
Okay, so who should we vote for president?
The United States?
Yes, the election is coming up in November. Which of the candidates do you like?
Who would I vote for?
Yes!
Johnny Ramone.
Well, it's not anyone from history. It has to kind of be the nominee for the party.
Oh, this election.
Yes.
All right. Joey Ramone.
Okay. Roddy, John McCain, Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton, one of them will be president. Which one of those three do you like?
Do I have to choose from those three?
Yes, that's
right. All right. Dee Dee Ramone.
Okay, all right. We got to go, Roddy. All right, so that's – okay, maybe he's not the
Echo
celebrity.
Echo and the Bunny Man.
All right, thank you, Roddy.
Thomas Dolby.
All right, we got to go.
Spandau Ballet.
Thank you, Roddy. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Let's
try again.
Let's call Bob Dylan.
That wasn't helpful.
Talk about him. Now, Dylan, there's a guy.
Right?
Of course, a lot of people would care what he has to say.
He's a thinker, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean, how are you, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
How's it going?
Now, Bob, we're having a discussion. I don't know if you're listening this morning. We're having a discussion about celebrity endorsements, and you are, you know, some people consider the spokesperson for your generation. Who do you like in November for the next president? I did not get any of that. I'm sorry, Bob.
Not a word.
I heard people and issues.
I'm pretty sure I heard easy E.
No.
Although I'm not positive.
I have to go with Reagan McCann.
Who?
You have to with who?
Reagan McCann.
Bring in the clowns? Ringo Starr. Did you say Ringo Starr?
No.
How are we supposed to know who to vote for?
I'm telling you.
All right, say it again.
Ringo
Ross.
Lincoln Logs? You're voting for Lincoln Logs. That's what you're saying.
Senator Obama, Senator Clinton, or Senator McCain?
I can't.
Go back.
Okay. All right. Is it Senator Clinton? Is it Senator McCain? Is it Senator Obama? There we go.
All right.
Why do you like him? Why have you chosen him as your nominee?
Well, he's been learning. He's way back when in Chicago. He's telling the difference and difference in business people in the street. And he can change it and take them to the and make them know for their own on them.
That's
okay,
true. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
That is true. Thank you, Bob.
All right. So that's one for Obama and one for Joey Ramone. Who else we call it?
Let's call the great Sean Connery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very outspoken. Sure.
Hello?
Sean Connery.
Yes.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Oh, for f***ing sake.
Oh, jeez.
What do you Listen, want?
Well, sorry to bother
what
you. I know
the
this.
Do I have to do to keep you guys from crawling up my ass?
I know, and it wasn't scheduled. I know we didn't have an appointment with you, but we're...
You have any idea what time it is?
I don't know where you are right now, so no.
Well, I'll tell you, it's too f***ing early to talk to you. I'm busy doing blow off a young girl's
Okay, well, we're going to let you get right back to that in a second.
Geez. Is that whore there with you?
She yes.
Yeah. Lisa, yeah.
Do me a favor, just dangle a d*** in front of her face or she'll shut the up.
Wow.
Sean,
wow.
You are awful. You are a terrible man.
You are a terrible man, Sean.
What I could do with that
Okay, listen, let's change the subject. Sean, the conversation we were having is about how every celebrity is letting their opinion be known about the upcoming presidential election. I know you can't vote, of course, but people still do care what all celebrities have to say. So who's your pick to be the next president here in the United States?
Well, for me, the choice is simple. Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Hillary Clinton. Okay.
Absolutely. I happen to know that Mrs. Clinton has a weak spot for my personal cause, which is the independence of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
And I would love to get an opportunity, if she became president, to sit down with her and force her to g*** on my c***.
Sean, how does
what?
That help
That'd
Scotland
be great.
Get free?
That's... Oh, hello, Madam President. that I'd love to g*** her until the mascara was running down from her eyes because her eyes were watering. Okay. From the bulbous of my c*** in the back of her throat.
Oh,
shut the f*** up.
All right, I'm sorry we called you. Is that Omar?
Where it turns out, Her Royal Highness is just like us.
According to a British paper, the People, Queen Elizabeth II, who I hate, is supposedly the latest member of the Wii fan club. Yes.
Really?
Queen Elizabeth,
well,
playing
says
Wii.
It. She always says that. We are not amused. We enjoy being in front of the people. We are very happy with England.
So does she play the Royal Wii? Is that what you're suggesting, Ralph?
That's what I'm saying.
Supposedly, one of her grandsons got it for Christmas. She walked by. She insisted to be included and now plays Wii all the time.
Okay, what's
Come
your point
on.
About
cool.
that?
It's a cool minor story.
It's because she's...
What?
Is anyone more old and square and out of touch than the queen, really? I mean, doesn't this just smack
well,
of PR
not,
to
she's
you?
She's not base jumping, Kevin. She's picking up doesn't have a handset and playing a little game.
I mean, you don't play video games, but the Wii, for those of you that play, you know, especially like the boxing and stuff like that, way tiring.
Well, she supposedly doesn't do that.
Supposedly
she
bowled.
She did bowling. Okay. Yeah, that's how hard is that?
For an 85-year-old that's just about dead and can barely wave, I think it's probably a little much.
Where are you hearing that she's just about dead? She's in excellent health. Her mother lived to be over 100, and she seems like she's in great health, too.
I just hate the queen. I hate the monarchy. I hate the
Why
whole...
Why do you hate the
because
queen?
Because what did she do to become queen? What did she do, Ralph?
She was born to the
born
king. That's
to the
what
right
she did.
Family.
She was born into
How
the
about
royal
that?
Lineage.
Is anything more outdated than that? Seriously.
So do you hate...
She hasn't run the country.
My blood is better than everyone else's. F you with your royal blood,
They
bitch.
Have a parliament. They have a prime minister.
Right.
They have
she does nothing.
She is the figurehead, the titular figurehead of
I'm not sure what
country.
You just said, but I'm turned on strangely.
All right, hold on a sec. It seems to me like we got two problems going on here at the same time, and naturally they're both stemming out of Kevin's pie hole. Number one is whether the monarchy is past its due. We can save that discussion for another time. I understand that you don't approve of their system of government, although the British people love the Queen, okay? So it doesn't really matter what we Americans think
of
about
it.
But
not.
Number two is, why is it you find it so hard to believe that a woman in her 80s, and I bet there are hundreds of them, thousands of them in the United States, would pick up their grandson's Christmas present and play a little Wii? What is the big deal about that? Why is that so unbelievable to you?
Of all video games to play, the Wii seems most old people friendly to me because all you really have to do is do what they did in the 1800s when they bowled there into the same motion as bowling
so
now.
So you have to actually go through the motions of bowling this 90-year-old woman is
but
doing.
But she doesn't have to pick up a ball. She doesn't have to pick up a ball. She just has to move her arm.
I know that.
I understand.
Why can't you believe that, though? Because aren't you guys a little leery of the PR that comes out from the Queen? Aren't you a little
yeah,
leery?
She's lied to us so
no,
much
saying,
before, Kevin.
I'm saying
we can't trust her with her devious ways.
They're trying desperately to make her look relevant to any kind
she
of anything.
She owns a Yorkshire Terrier. How do we know that for sure? I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying that she's playing the Wii.
But tell me why.
Because there's a PR hack that saw the grandson playing and thought, hey, I'm going to put out a story. This will make the Queen look relevant.
She
all right,
plays
let me ask,
the Wii. Yeah.
Let me ask
idea.
Another way. You don't believe this story just because she's famous and you think the story has been leaked for publicity. Do you believe that there are no 81-year-olds out there who play the Wii?
Probably are. Just this is too self-serving. This is a little bit too neat and tidy for the Queen of England. Oh, she's playing the Wii. How about that? Shut the F up. I hate her.
This is so random.
I hate everything about her.
This is random hate. You have too much hate. You're starting to lose focus of it.
No, I've always hated the Queen. That's me. Now, Queen is one of my targets. I just despise everything about her. The monarchy, the whole blue blood.
She has given her – I don't even want to get into the monarchy argument, but she's given her entire life to England.
To
There's
do
no
what?
One who has done more for her country than she has.
She's done nothing.
No one.
Yeah, all of the people in their government has done more than she has. She just said a second ago, she's a figurehead, she doesn't do anything. So what has she done all this time?
Well, that's not what I said. But you should rent a couple of movies is what you need to do. You need to rent The Queen, for
yes.
instance. That'd be a good place for you to start. You
Hell
get an idea
it.
Of what
Wait
she does.
Is that
yeah.
about The Queen?
Yes, it is.
No! Why would I want to spend
because
my time doing that?
Because you might have some information then.
Versus
you might have some facts.
She's playing the Wii. Kiss
but
my
Ralph,
ass.
Ralph brings up a good point. They're not saying she got on a motorcycle and jumped the Thames, all right? She just picked up a
That's
video game
next.
Console. Why
That's
is that
next.
A... All right.
And why would they have to put out a fake press release to try to impress people that she can bowl with the Wii? How impressive is that?
It makes her sound young, hip, and relevant, and no one's more out of touch than she is.
But she doesn't need a makeover to her image. They
yes,
love
she
her already.
Does.
They love her there
oh,
already.
For
She's
God's
not
sakes.
Suffering when it comes to public relations.
Ralph drank the Kool-Aid.
It is just what it is.
He brings up a great point, though. It's not a significant enough story that would be worth making up and lying about. So why isn't it easier to believe that it's just true?
It's not like Tom Cruise, he pushed a car out of the snow and saved a life or
why
something.
Why don't they just say she's playing Rock Band and she's doing the drum part? I mean, why don't they just take it to the
because
let's just take it to the
limit.
Because
she's probably not doing that, but
she's
maybe...
not playing Wii either. Wow.
What's wrong with you?
No, jumping
Jehoshaphat. You know the only way we can solve this whole problem?
Right.
Yeah,
what
what's
it?
That?
I think we got to call Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II in England.
Okay.
We
call Buckingham Palace? Are you kidding me?
Can we call Buckingham Palace? Why don't we call Buckingham Palace and I'll be Jerry Lewis?
Okay.
Oh,
we'll
oh no.
What?
No, I'm sorry. No? You can't be Jerry Lewis. Right. That's not going to. All right. We do happen to have the phone number. Producer Lightning lined it up for us here. So let's dial it up here, Psycho Mike. Or do we already have her on
yeah,
hold?
Which
do
we
have?
Here.
Oh, we have it on hold. Okay.
Hello, royal subjects. Hello.
Hello, Your Majesty.
I'm busy playing the Wii. Can I help you?
See, there we go. That's all we wanted to find out, is that you're in fact playing the Wii, aren't you?
In a few minutes, I'm going to lift weights, and then I'm going to run a marathon.
Which of the Wii games do you enjoy most, Your Majesty?
The boxing one, because it takes the most physical prowess, and I'm young and agile. And I'm also going to be wrestling in UFC 85.
Wow, that is an achievement at your age.
Maybe Kevin was on to something. I didn't realize that. Wow, okay. All right. So Your Majesty, you enjoyed the video games. That is a true story. It is not something that is made up by your PR people.
Of course, because I'm young and vibrant and relevant.
Okay, very good.
I'm sensing some sarcasm from the
F
Queen.
You.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Whoa. All right.
F you.
Wow, I think the Queen's been in the Royal Sherry this morning.
6.7 KROQ, whipping you into a needless frenzy about...
Oh, sorry, too soon. Try again. Go ahead.
Whipping you into a needless frenzy about how your brain will be eaten soon.
Is that better?
Better.
That's what she said.
So what do you got so far on the list of things that have terrified us in recent years?
Well, you got your mad cow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got your monkey pox.
Right.
Remember one summer?
I wanted the monkey pox, by the way. Never got the monkey pox. I always hoped to get that.
Remember one summer it was the summer of the alligator? Attack or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I do. That's right.
Bird flu was going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
West Nile virus.
That's a good one.
E. coli spinach. We've had a lot of real scary things, but this one, what I'm telling
killer
you.
Killer bees, dude. What about the killer bees?
Killer bees.
But I'm telling you right now, this is the one you should be afraid of, and the media is downplaying it because they don't want you to go crazy.
I agree. We're talking about the brain-eating amoeba. This isn't something that we just made up. This is something that actually has killed over a million people so far. And John Randolph is the writer of the Lake Havasu News Herald article that caught our attention. I'm right about those facts. A million people dead from this brain-eating amoeba, right, John?
That's slight exaggeration there.
How many so far?
I think since 1995 there's been at least 30.
Okay, wow. Well, that's close enough. Now, we're talking about Havasu here, right? This is a place where a lot of people from Southern California go throughout the course of the year.
No work, no stress. Yes, no problem.
Except
that's what
for
they say.
That's Havasu.
The brain-eating amoeba.
That, oh, yeah. That, okay.
Now, is it true or is it not true that the latest kid that died was in Lake Havasu and some amoeba crawls up your nose and eats your brain?
True.
Dude, what's this all about? What do we need to know?
All right. Well, here's the most important thing is it's not just Lake Havasu that has this stuff.
Oh, good.
It's an amoeba. It's found in 70% of fresh water lakes.
Okay.
In the
United
States.
You're a little slow on the sound effects there.
I'm sorry, 70% of freshwater lakes.
There you go.
So it's much worse than we even knew, right, John?
Exactly. And so, you know, I was talking to the state epidemiologist, that's the state health official, and she was saying, hey, look, this could be any warm freshwater lake, and just because you had one case here, it could be another lake next summer, it could be in California, it could be in Texas, it could be anywhere, and it's a freaky thing, it just happens. You know, once in a while, this thing happens.
Look, wait a minute, just a second now. An amoeba that crawls up my nose and eats my brain. You can't just throw that off like just sometimes it happens.
It's like sunburn, Kevin. Occasionally it just happens.
There's
not much you can do about it.
Some way of protecting yourself or...
Okay. Now, here's the thing. People say, all right, basically it shoots up your nose in a jet of water. Now, this is freaking... This is freaking people out because they're saying, hey, I'm water skiing, I'm wakeboarding,
sure.
I'm jet skiing, I'm doing all this stuff. And the thing is, this thing only lives in shallow, warm water, real shallow. It lives in the sediment at the bottom.
Okay, so it's fresh, too, so it's not surfing off the coast.
Okay, it's just fresh water, as far as we know.
So like Lake Hollywood, for example, right?
Boom, John, are you a real newspaper reporter?
I am. I'm a real... legit newspaper writer. I don't know how legit that means, but
okay,
I get paid.
Because we interview a lot of reporters. You just don't sound like one. You sound like a guy who's making stuff up as he goes along. That's all. I'm not trying to discredit your credentials. I'm just saying, are you sure about what you're telling us here?
I'm looking at this thing that I wrote right here.
Okay. You're sourcing yourself is what you're saying. Okay.
All right, let me ask you this. If the amoeba is in 70% of fresh water in the country, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why so few deaths then if this amoeba is so widespread?
Well, no, you'd have to ask a scientist about this because there's been so few deaths, there's very little that's known about this thing and how it really works.
It's waiting to pounce. That's why it's gonna it's got an effort where they're all gonna hit us at once.
Now I'll tell you the reason why we don't think that's the case is that there's only been 300 or so cases worldwide since the 70s.
Right,
this is when
they
first discovered this thing.
Was there a kid at Havasu within the last couple of years?
No, this is the first one ever.
That's what I'm saying, though. He just got it, didn't he?
He just got it.
All right, then, everyone, run for your lives.
Now, what are the we talk in general terms about the amoeba goes in your nose and eats your brain. What actually happens to you from the time you are infected in the water, like this patient in Lake Havasu? What happened to him, and how long did it take before he died?
I think it took 11 days.
Wow.
And now what happened was...
Did his just brain start? Did he, like, couldn't understand language 1 second, and then the next second he went blind, and then...
This is a tragedy for this family here, and we all feel really horrible.
Right,
about
but
it.
Help us whip everyone
what,
into what a needless
happened,
frenzy.
What
That's what we do.
Was, and this isn't going to make it sound any better, but, you know, it takes a couple of weeks, or it takes about, you know, a couple of days for the symptoms to appear. They're flu-like, headache... fever.
Oh, good.
Chills.
So it looks
everything
just like everything
symptoms.
Else.
Exactly. And eventually, really what people need to know is it kind of appears to look like meningitis when it gets serious. It has those same similar
and what's
symptoms.
That? Is that
right?
Really, really like bad headache in the back of your head kind of a thing?
Bad headache. And then...
Because part of your brain is gone!
And so...
The timing down.
Yeah, okay. You've got it now.
Yeah.
So... It finally, in the severe stage, looks like meningitis. And the thing is once this thing is really into the severe stage, it's hard to diagnose.
Excellent. Good. So it's,
well, that's because at that point it no longer looks like meningitis. It looks like brain death.
So you're saying freshwater lakes like Lake Pyramid, for example? Lake Mead?
Any warm freshwater lake.
Raging Waters?
McPowell.
Oh, good point, by the way.
Magic Mountain. All right. What Irvine, is all those places?
What I'm sure this has gotten to the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. Do they have advice for people? Should people be avoiding freshwater, or should people just be taking their chances and going in there?
Now, here's what people – that's a good question. And here's, you know, any freshwater lake, you know, and first of all, this only tends to affect, and they don't know exactly why, but boys.
Really?
Young boys. Oh. You know, say, like, most of them are, like, teenagers or younger. Some of them –
I'd love to get a copy of that.
That's right. Interesting.
But because it seems that what seems to be the route of transmission is warm, shallow water, you disturb the bottom of the lake.
All right.
You know, you're kicking up sediment or something, and then you go diving into it and you're swimming around, and somehow this thing gets into your nose.
All right, so what if you plug your nose?
Plug your nose.
You're fine? Then you're good?
Plug your nose.
What about people's swimming pools at home?
There's been one case.
One case?
Now.
Don't go swimming!
Now, what happened was there was no chlorine in the pool. It was full of junk and sediment and stuff. I talked to the epidemiologist who found it. They said, this is a freaky case. And, you know, this is not.
Yeah,
you chlorinate your pool, you have nothing to worry about.
All right. John is clearly trying to stop the spread of good information on our show, which is that you should avoid any kind of water coming in contact with your skin. That's basically
including bottled water.
Bottled water, showers, you should stay away from all of it. That's what we're hearing. Although he's trying to play that down. John Rudolph writes for a newspaper called the Lake Havasu News Herald, so he should know more than a million people out there have died from this already. So be very, very careful. Yeah, I know. Like I say, he's trying to play it down.
Okay.
John, thank you for the misinformation, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Okay,
fine. All right. Take care.
Look, we know that traffic sucks, of course. Everybody's got that. But we know the man with the plan to fix it. There's one thing I know. It's that many people love living in Southern California.
Yeah.
But if they had to pick the one thing they don't like about it, what do you guys think it would be? What would be number one on that list of complaints about living in the Southland?
Ryan Seacrest?
Okay, assuming he's number one, we'll have to take it for granted. Right. What's number two?
Well, I would have to say traffic.
Traffic.
Traffic is the answer.
Forever.
Yeah.
And that's why we have good news for you, because our mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, has a plan.
And the plan, the most aggressive they say since the 1980s, ranges from what seems so possible, synchronizing lights, to other challenges, finding dollars to finish the red line and the goal line too. And facing serious debate, what could be a prototype for many places, turning Olympic and Pico, starting in West LA one way. What a difference, but at a price.
Now there are always going to be the naysayers. There'll be opposition, obviously, but you can't say that you want to reduce traffic and not join in the effort.
And while they won't be finding much debate, more left turn signals, about 100 to be exact, before June. And then there's the Tiger Team concept. It's growing. It's moving to Sunset Boulevard, towing those cars, blocking some far right lanes at rush hour.
Okay.
Mayor Villaraigosa on the case. We got him on the phone with us right now on the world famous K-Rock, by the way. Oh, wow. Look at that. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Mr. Mayor?
Hello?
Mayor Villaraigosa, Kevin and Bean here. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, barely. Yeah.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at the 405 by the 105 interchange. Jerry, it's kind of crazy out here today. Jerry, get out of the way! Jerry!
What?
Can you turn down your radio or something? We can barely hear you, sir. What's going on?
Turn down the double dash bus. It's my theme song, okay? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is the bus your theme song?
Because I'm driving the bus, bitch. What do you think?
You're driving the bus?
Here's the part of the conversation that we didn't tell yet, and that's that to promote public transportation, Villaraigosa says he will ride a bus, subway, or light rail line at least once a week.
Not only am I riding it, I'm driving it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not immune from getting my hands dirty from taking care of this problem. It's a big problem. You know what I'm saying?
So you're driving the bus.
I thought that the only thing I could do is handle things Mexican style. Yeah. And fit as many people as I can into a vehicle way too small for it. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, sit down at the back of the bus, okay? Keep your hands and arms inside.
All right. Wow, that's freaky that the mayor himself is driving the bus. Now, how many people do you have on that ride right now, Mr. Mayor?
As of right now, let me see. I carried a 1.5, dude. 245. hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, on your right-hand side, you will see Venice Beach. If you have
have your Dickies or your Levi's prepare to jump in the ocean is the famous secret of Southern California. Thank you.
Wow.
He's also a tour bus.
You're a tour guide,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, like I said, I got to clean this place up. I mean, get as many people off the road as possible. You know. Yeah.
Quiet
down,
that?
Lamb.
That sounds like a sheep.
Yeah, it's a lamb, but either way.
why is there one on the bus?
Hold on. I see a fine hyena next to me. I'm going to hit my switches. I don't know where I'm coming from. Pancake, yeah, make it bounce.
You're making a bus bounce?
Yeah, I got a fly. It's a hydros. I got spokes. Wow. It's got a greater mural on the side. It's great. Okay, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will see on your right-hand side, Universal City Nissan. No credit, no citizenship necessary to buy a new Maxima today.
Wow.
Service right
Did you
there.
Just shoot a weapon?
That's right.
You shot a weapon?
That's right. Hold on. I'm working as an active police officer as well.
Pull over to the right hand side of the road. You made an illegal right hand turn.
You can't pull people.
No more turning for you.
You're actually killing motorists.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your animals out of the aisle where I'm trying to go.
An elephant?
Yeah, I guess that's what that is.
What?
Hey, Omar, get the guy out of the elephant.
You didn't just shoot the elephant, did you?
No, I shot Omar.
Omar, okay.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What kind of what does it do?
A moment with Kevin.
Well, it people
sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for? Well, that's what I meant. What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do? Why didn't you ask what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily
kind
to you.
What city is it? You could have asked.
I don't know the answer to that question. If I knew the answer to that, I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked. What does your city do?
What does your city do?
Well, he understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, hey, all he's right. just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about that what he's contributed to the industry.
The brilliance.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah. It must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, oh, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years.
But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And, you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit a stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, check.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like word jumble.
It's a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know why.
See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
How about...
We don't need to keep going with this.
Well, I'm just saying,
it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past past few years.
What about, Mike, see if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something like that. And Kevin was Kevin had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much
chance for
confusion.
But I've got a big head.
That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with
what
is
the, don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough, tough questions.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's right just, in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red. Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about when we take
we
Kevin out on the road?
Have to keep what this
about
going.
Oh, yeah. What Look, about when thing. Kevin's in front of people?
Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, in your home field advantage, you can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds making. I'm sorry, eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a
milking.
I got to stop drinking.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA USC thing, and
there we go. Okay,
they were serving me skillets, which is a skillet with
sorry, a frying pan full of liquor.
Yeah.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
Yeah. And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanent? Permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, my Lord.
That was a full-blown stroke.
It was, yeah.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man. I don't have it today.
All right. It's
We're
going to take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake or whatever, that kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way with those ones.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
We're watched with a fine-tooth comb, really?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
Now, I have a request. Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, sure.
Kevin crystallized that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You got to wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel, of the wherever, the tower to get, you know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right.
He had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other. And that's
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more. Because is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time. Him.
That